Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Lads, it is Wednesday. It is 12 minutes past 11. Sex therapy time. And I just want to say, as always, especially this one, this next segment is not for little ears.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yeah, and we're going to talk now about the site OnlyFans. Have you heard this knocking around the last couple of months? Because it's seen a significant rise in subscribers in recent months. There's also been an increase in media coverage as some very well-known celebrities have signed up to create content for their fans, like Kerry Katona and people like that. Well, joining me on the line now to tell us more is our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, Jen, and yourself?
I'm good. So let's start by explaining what exactly is OnlyFans.
Yeah, so it's a website that has already had intense criticism on social media platforms. It's had a mention in a Beyoncé lyric. It's had privacy leaks and hacks and a deep discussion about the treatment of sex workers specifically. But basically, it's a British content subscription service. So basically, content creators can earn money from users or fans who subscribe to the content. You know, and there's lots of sort of fitness experts, chefs, musicians and other creators who sort of post regularly. But it's basically become very well known for sex workers. And it allows content creators to receive funding directly from their fans on a monthly basis, as well as sort of tips. And there's this pay-per-view feature as well. And so, like, the creators of OnlyFans wanted to find a way for social media influencers to directly monetize their content. So the platform is actually quite similar to Instagram or Twitter, except you obviously pay this sort of monthly subscription to view the content and interact with the content creators or models.
Would I be right in saying the majority of the content in there is explicit and, you know, from most of the content creators? When I think of OnlyFans, I think of, a lot of, porn.
Yeah. And so when it was founded in 2016, it wasn't originally intended for that. It was just basically to give fans exclusive access to their favorite creators. But it became associated with digital sex work because it allows explicit content, i.e. nudity, which platforms like Instagram and Tumblr and other sites have much stricter content policies. Yeah. So it's kind of gained this reputation as a paywall of porn. And there's sort of these like fresh sort of income streams for adult entertainers and sex workers. And it's been credited with empowering its most popular creators by making sex work profitable for talent in an industry that was already sort of destabilized by the internet. But as with any sort of disruptive technology, OnlyFans is creating great new opportunities for some people and leaving other people behind. And there's lots of questions and controversy and interesting things around it.
Do you have to be over 18 to use OnlyFans?
No, you don't. You don't. And this is, they're trying to be as strict as possible. They've changed their age verification process after a BBC documentary illustrated how easy it was for teenagers under 18 to get around it. You're supposed to be over 18 to join it, but you can get around it. And so there's been a huge debate about age verification because it's really difficult for companies to implement basically a robust and safe process, which doesn't mean that we should sort of say, oh, well, that's a shame. But, you know, it's a kind of ongoing discussion, but it's a big issue that's been raised about,
so that's one of the issues. Let's talk about the, dare I say, the positivity of it, and that is the sex workers. It must be creating a more safe space for sex workers because, like, they're not out in the street, they're doing it in the comfort of their own homes. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, overall. Now, we've seen, like, there's some other sides to it, of course, because there's the problem with revenge porn, where, you know, basically people become victims of online image abuse where their content is ripped from OnlyFans and posted on sites like Reddit or Pornhub. And basically, the bigger someone's OnlyFans account grows, the more challenging it is to control where the content ends up. So once you publish those images, you know, you lose control of them. And so the problem is then that the image appears in multiple sites and it's a digital footprint. So there's a record there. So revenge porn is a crime. That's one. Then there's also the issue with minors accessing this content. But on the whole, you know, this is allowing, you know, it's not just a select set of influencers who are flocking to this platform. You know, as the pandemic stretches on, more and more people are turning to OnlyFans as a very viable source of income. You know, users of this site and others like it pay tax. They work hard just like anyone in a more conventional job. And the difference here is that creators can take ownership of their content, control their salary, control their working conditions, things that are normally controlled and determined by someone else. So there is a lot of upsides to this for sure.
What's the relationship of OnlyFans to TikTok?
Well, basically, TikTok has an algorithmically generated For You page. And that has seemed to, there's a huge propensity there for absolutely rocketing regular everyday people to stardom. And basically, it seems that people who have become very popular on OnlyFans often are building their massive subscriber base through TikTok. So some creators already have an OnlyFans and they see TikTok as a marketing platform that offers free massive reach, while others join TikTok first only to learn about OnlyFans later. But these are two basically unrelated platforms that have developed a kind of a symbiotic relationship, fueling each other and their users for better or worse.
Now, you keep using the term creators. At the end of the day, is the majority of the people on OnlyFans just young ones and young fellas getting their bits out?
I think, well, look, people are making businesses out of this. It depends how you define that. You know, more and more people are questioning their previous judgments and shame around sex work. You know, the fact that sex work is work does not mean necessarily that it's good work or empowering work or harmless work. However, sex work is not inherently harmful, I think we're coming to understand. Mm. But criminalization and stigma do make sex work circumstantially harmful. You know, so sex workers, like most workers, have diverse feelings about their work. Some sex workers dislike their work but find that it's, you know, their best or possibly even only option to make a living. Some people feel neutral about it but find that it offers flexibility or good pay. And some people enjoy the work and find it rewarding and fun. You know, I think we're just having a lot more conversations about what this work is and how, you know, willing we are to consume the material, but then sort of paradoxically judge it very negatively, which I think we're just seeing, you know, the sex. Some people are saying, you know, sex like this and nudity has such a lack of meaning that it's immoral or disrespectful, that it's objectifying. But that is seriously at odds considering how many people, you know, are very, very millions. You know, this is an established legal industry used by millions every day without a second thought, i.e., you know, porn. And what I think is happening here is that when women are given the opportunity, because it's majority women who are the content creators on OnlyFans, and it's majority men who are the subscribers. And so it seems that when women are given the opportunity to make a killing on their own terms with their own rules, hours, creating only content that they feel safe and happy producing for customers, why do many people feel so differently? You know, it's like sex and sex appeal can be sacred or it can be a commodity or it can be both or neither. And I think it's how it's used by one person doesn't need to have anything to do with the next person, because, you know, I basically think we should respect everyone's choices with a reasonably open mind. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it, doesn't mean you have to do it yourself, but judging other people, you know, we're looking at a very familiar culprit of misogyny. So I think that's a huge bit of controversy around OnlyFans that I think is only going to grow and be useful for us.
Yeah, I think my only problem is, like, once they're an adult, you know, the danger is a lot of these, let's say the majority is women, a lot of them would be really young. And is there enough policing on OnlyFans that would stop minors slipping through the net and having OnlyFans pages?
Totally. And I think, but I also think it's more than that, right? No matter how robust it is, you'll always find people who'll find ways to get around it. What we need here, what is more important to focus on, is education and open conversations with people, so that, you know, this isn't, that it isn't about shame and silence and putting this under the rug or punishing people, but understanding, you know, different choices, having conversations about body autonomy and body sovereignty. You know, having people understand the context in which, for many people, doing work like this is either their only option or is a better option than many other jobs, you know, because the issue of class comes up time and time again in the conversation about sex work. So it's unsurprising that it's also been a factor for those criticizing, you know, OnlyFans earners. It's a job that suits people who are living in poverty, who are single mothers, for instance, students struggling to pay you know, fees, people living with disabilities. So, you know, I think there's also a big conversation around class there as well.
Well, let's talk about some of the well-known celebs that have signed up to OnlyFans. I mean, I know Kerry Katona. Would I be right in saying that she signed up for an OnlyFans page?
She did. She has one. Then there's also, I mean, probably the biggest out there is Cardi B. She's on there. Then we've had Danielle Lloyd, Aaron Carter, Black China, Amber Rose, Tyga. There's loads of people on it, and I think that's only going to grow, to be honest. And now, many of those people are not providing explicit content, but again, I think, you know, it's important for us to sort of question, like, what do we view as explicit? Like, where is the line? Even that, most of us have a sort of arbitrary line in our heads. Like, if you've got a bra on, that's not explicit, but if the bra's off, that's explicit. Or maybe it's some other line. But like, why do we have these lines, and are they useful to us? So yeah, there's loads of celebs. I think there's going to be more.
Yeah, Bella, so they must be making a few quid. Obviously they are. I know in lockdown, there was a huge rise in subscribers, wasn't there?
There was a massive rise. I think they went from something like doubled. So in March, OnlyFans had 26 million registered users. And now I think they've nearly doubled that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. People looking for something
huge
to do over lockdown.
It's
what was
huge.
What was the whole palaver with Bella Thorne recently? What was that?
Oh, yeah. So basically, she set an OnlyFans record when she earned over $1 million within the first 24 hours after joining the platform in August. And then she basically ended up earning more than $2 million in less than a week. And so she kind of sparked controversy because she supposedly promised nude photos. She has now said that that's not what she promised. But apparently she promised nude photos for $200 and instead provided, you know, photos of herself in lingerie. But then there were loads of people asking for refunds.
Oh,
and basically after that, new restrictions were introduced by OnlyFans that limited the amount that other people and sex workers on the platform could charge and how quickly they could get paid. So basically, Bella Thorne's actions and the fallout caused backlash among sex workers because she kind of went from positioning herself as a celebrity darling of the site to having to issue a huge apology to sex workers, where it has now changed the site and made it just much more difficult to earn money.
She tried to shaft people.
I'm not sure she intended to do that, but she ended up doing that. That's
okay,
for sure.
She didn't intend to do that. But saying that you were going to post nudie pics and then not post the nudie pics, I mean, you know, just be very forthcoming.
Well, look,
that.
But there's a huge market for it. And this is what we're.
Yeah.
This is what the question is about. Like, why are we in a society? Not that it's necessarily good nor bad, but just questioning. Why are we in this situation where there are so many people, mostly men, people who identify as men, who are looking for this sort of content still, and that there are, you know, a lot of people who identify as women who are willing to provide it because, you know, in for many of them, why not?
And it's safe. Somebody texts me saying, Jen, apparently Black China is making 15 million per month from OnlyFans. Another texter says, Jen, the main point I'm getting from this chat is that we're finally understanding that men and women who do sexy shots can be empowered if it's ethical, and I for one celebrate that.
Amazing. Absolutely. You know, it's like, this is what we've been talking about with things like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's WAP, you know, and other things that, like, a lot of the controversy seems to be sparked when it suddenly is women being able to do things that, you know, many men have been often doing for decades. And or that it's, you know, a largely sort of male fan base or, you know, subscribers. And yeah, I just think this is great conversation to be having.
Yeah, if it's safe and ethical. And somebody texts in looking for, remember recently you gave ethical porn sites for people. Do you remember any of those we talked about that you can give out now?
God, I don't. Let me send them to you afterwards.
Send them to me
after. Read them out to everybody.
I'll read them out after the next song. But listen, Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you so much for that. We're actually going to be talking to Jasmine Heaney on the show tomorrow. And she's an OnlyFans content creator. And her earnings peaked in recent months. Absolutely amazing story. And Rachel, listen, I'll chat to you next week and send me in those names, will you?
Will do.
Ethna's dying to know. Thanks, Rachel. And just to let you guys know, you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end of it. And she'll be back next week. So if you have a question that you'd like us to put to her, just get in touch with the team 24/7. Jen@rt.ie. I can do this now.
It's okay. You can all come out now because sex therapist Rachel has now left the building.
And stay with us because she will be texting me and letting us know about those ethical porn sites, and I'll bring them to you after this. Now, I just want to hit you up. Thanks to Rachel. She got in touch fairly quickly with a load of ethical porn sites if you want to have a look. An ethical meaning all the actors are paid, they're of age, and this, if you want to go there, this is where you go. Eroticfilms.com is one. Four Chambers is another. Joy Bear is one. Pinklabel.tv is another one. Bright Desire and X Confessions. Lads, you're welcome.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.